Hare Krishna. This is a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 8, Texts 32 through 45. Krishna shows the universal form within his mouth. Text 32. One day, while Krishna was playing with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the Gopis, all his friends came together and lodged a complaint to Mother Yasoda. "Mother," they submitted, "Krishna has eaten earth." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is another of Krishna's transcendental activities invented to please the Gopis. First, a complaint was lodged with Mother Yasoda about Krishna's stealing, but Mother Yasoda did not chastise him. Now, in an attempt to awaken Mother Yasoda's anger so that she would chastise Krishna, another complaint was invented, that Krishna had eaten earth. Text 33. Upon hearing this from Krishna's playmates, Mother Yasoda, who was always full of anxiety over Krishna's welfare, picked Krishna up with her hands to look into his mouth and chastise him. Her eyes were fearful. She spoke to her son as follows. Commentary by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Yasoda held Krishna by the hand for fear that he would run away. Though Yasoda scolded him, her intention was to benefit him. In this case, scolding and beating nourish the prema. They are not faults. This is the usual habit of a mother toward her son, so it is not unjust. Krishna's eyes were filled with fear, but this fear is an ornament of the Lord, caused by prema. It is not a fault. Text 34.
Dear Krishna, why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged against you by all your playmates, including your elder brother Balaram. How is this?
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mother Yasoda was agitated by Krishna's restless misbehavior. Her house was full of sweetmeats. Why, then, should the restless boy eat dirt in a solitary place? Krishna replied, "My dear mother, they have plotted together and lodged a complaint against me so that you will punish me. My elder brother Balaram has joined them. Actually, I have not done this. Take my words as true. Do not be angry and chastise me." Text 35. Lord Krishna replied, "My dear mother, I have never eaten dirt. All my friends complaining against me are liars. If you think they are being truthful, you can directly look into my mouth and examine it." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna presented himself as an innocent child to increase the transcendental ecstasy of maternal affection. As described in the Shastra, Tadana Bhayan Mityuktir Vatsalya Rasa Proshika. This means that sometimes a small child speaks lies. For example, he may have stolen something or eaten something and yet deny that he had done so. We ordinarily see this in the material world, but in relation to Krishna, it is different. Such activities are meant to endow the devotee with transcendental ecstasy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was playing as a liar and accusing all the other devotees of being liars. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 12, 11, Krita Punya Pujaha, a devotee may attain an ecstatic position after many, many births of devotional service. Persons who have amassed the result of a vast amount of pious activities can attain the stage of associating with Krishna and playing with him like ordinary playmates. One should not consider these transactions of transcendental service to be untruthful accusations. One should never accuse such devotees of being ordinary boys speaking lies, for they attained this stage of associating with Krishna by great austerities. Tapasya brahmacharyena samena cha damena cha. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary. Krishna said, "I did not eat dirt." To tell a lie for fear of being beaten is natural for a child, and it nourishes the Vatsalya Bhava, parental affection. Vatsalya and other rasas spring from prema, and prema rests within the devotee's heart. It arises in the devotee because of Krishna's inherent affection for his devotee, Bhaktivatsal. The Lord's quality of Bhaktivatsalya is greater than any of his other spiritual qualities, such as purity, mercy, or truthfulness. As Krishna's telling a lie springs from this, it is not a fault. Rather, it is the crown jewel of all great qualities. Text 36. Mother Yasoda challenged Krishna.
If you have not eaten earth, then open your mouth wide.
When challenged by his mother in this way, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, to exhibit pastimes like a human child, opened his mouth. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is full of all opulences, did not disturb his mother's parental affection, his opulence was automatically displayed, for Krishna's opulence is never lost at any stage, but is manifest at the proper time. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Without disturbing the ecstasy of his mother's affection, Krishna opened his mouth and displayed his own natural opulences. When a person is given varieties of food, there may be 101 varieties. But if one likes ordinary shak, spinach, he prefers to eat that. Similarly, although Krishna was full of all opulences, now, by the order of Mother Yasoda, he opened wide his mouth like a human child and did not neglect the transcendental humor of maternal affection. Texts 37 through 39. When Krishna opened his mouth wide by the order of Mother Yasoda, she saw within his mouth all moving and non-moving entities, outer space, and all directions, along with mountains, islands, oceans, the surface of the earth, the blowing wind, fire, the moon, and stars. She saw the planetary systems, water, light, air, sky, and creation by the transformation of ahankar. She also saw the senses, the mind, sense perception, and the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. She saw the time allotted for the living entities. She saw natural instinct and the reactions of karma. And she saw desires and different varieties of bodies, moving and non-moving. Seeing all these aspects of the cosmic manifestation, along with herself and Vrindavan Dham, she became doubtful and fearful of her son's nature. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All the cosmic manifestations that exist on the gross and subtle elements, as well as the means of their agitation, the three gunas, the living entity, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, and everything going on in the external energy of the Lord. All this comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. Everything is within the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 9.10. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sa teratanam. Everything in the material nature, prakriti, works under his control. Because all these manifestations come from Govinda, they could all be visible within the mouth of Govinda. Quite astonished, Mother Yasoda was afraid because of intense maternal affection. She could not believe that within the mouth of her son, such things could appear. Yet she saw them, and therefore she was struck with fear and wonder. Text 40. Mother Yasoda began to argue within herself.
Is this a dream? Or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence? Or is it some mystic power of my child?
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Mother Yasoda saw this wonderful manifestation within the mouth of her child, she began to argue within herself about whether it was a dream. Then she considered, I am not dreaming because my eyes are opened. I am actually seeing what is happening. I am not sleeping, nor am I dreaming. Then maybe this is an illusion created by Devamaya. But that is also not possible. What business would the demigods have showing such things to me? I am an insignificant woman with no connection with the demigods. Why should they take the trouble to put me into this Devamaya? That is also not possible. Then Mother Yasoda considered whether the vision might be due to bewilderment. I am fit in health. I am not diseased. Why should there be any bewilderment? It is not possible that my brain is deranged, since I am ordinarily quite fit to think. Then this vision must be done due to some mystic power of my son, as predicted by Gargamuni. Thus, she finally concluded that the vision was due to her son's activities and nothing else. Text 41.
Therefore, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offer my obeisances unto Him, who is beyond the conception of human speculation, the mind, activities, and arguments, who is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation, by whom the entire cosmos is maintained, and by whom we conceive of its existence. Let me simply offer my obeisances, for he is beyond my contemplation, speculation, and meditation. He is beyond all of my material activities.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One simply has to realize the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not try to understand him by any material means, subtle or gross. Mother Yasoda, being a simple woman, could not find out the real cause of the vision. Therefore, out of maternal affection, she simply offered obeisances unto the Supreme Lord to protect her child. She could do nothing but offer obeisances to the Lord. It is said, Achintya kalo ye bhava? Na tums tarkena yojayat. From the Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva, 5.22. One should not try to understand the supreme cause by argument or reasoning. When we are beset with some problem for which we can find no reason, there is no alternative than to surrender unto the Supreme Lord and offer him our respectful obeisances. Then our position will be secure. This was the means adopted in this instance also by Mother Yasoda. Whatever happens, the original cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Karana Karanam. When the immediate cause cannot be ascertained, let us simply offer our obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Mother Yasoda concluded that the wonderful things she saw within the mouth of her child were due to him, although she could not clearly ascertain the cause. Therefore, when a devotee cannot ascertain the cause of suffering, he concludes, Tattenu kampam sukshamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvag vipabur vidadan namaste jiveta so mukti pade sadaya bak. From Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-8. The devotee accepts that it is due to his own past misdeeds that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has caused him some small amount of suffering. Thus he offers obeisances unto the Lord, again and again. Such a devotee is called Mukti Pade Sadaya Bak. That is, he is guaranteed his liberation from this material world. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:14, Matraspasa stukanteya Shitosna Sukha Dukha Da Agamapayino Nityas Tamstatikshasva Bharata. We should know that material suffering due to the material body will come and go. Therefore, we must tolerate the suffering and proceed with discharging our duty as ordained by our spiritual master. Text 42.
It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I am wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I also am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Following in the footsteps of Mother Yasoda, everyone should follow this mentality of renunciation. Whatever wealth, opulence, or whatever else we may possess belongs not to us, but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate shelter of everyone and the ultimate owner of everything. As stated by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram Jagnatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantam Ritchati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. We should not be proud of our possessions. As expressed by Mother Yasoda herein, I am not the owner of possessions, the opulent wife of Nanda Maharaj. The estate, the possessions, the cows and calves and the subjects, like the gopis and cowherd men, are all given to me. One should give up thinking of my possessions, my son, my husband. Janasya moho yam aham mameti. Nothing belongs to anyone but the Supreme Lord. Only because of illusion do we wrongly think, I am existing, or everything belongs to me. Thus, Mother Yasoda completely surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. For the moment, she was rather disappointed, thinking, "My endeavors to protect my son by charity and other auspicious activities are useless. The Supreme Lord has given me many things, but unless he takes charge of everything, there is no assurance of protection. I must therefore ultimately seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.19, Balasya Neha Saranam Pitaro Nashinga. A father and mother cannot ultimately take care of their children. Ato Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vitaya Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8. One's land, home, wealth, and all of one's possessions belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we wrongly think, "I am this and these are mine." Text 43. Mother Yasoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency, Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Mother Yasoda understood the whole philosophy of life, at the next moment she was overwhelmed by affection for her son by the influence of Yogamaya. Unless she took care of her son, Krishna, she thought, how could he be protected? She could not think otherwise, and thus she forgot all her philosophical speculations. This forgetfulness is described by Srila Viswanatha Chakrabarti Thakur as being inspired by the influence of Yogamaya. Mohana sadharmyam mayam. Materialistic persons are captivated by Mahamaya, whereas devotees, by the arrangement of the spiritual energy, are captivated by Yogamaya. Viswanatha Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary. Discerning the truth in this way, Yasoda desired to give up her sense of possessiveness. But then the Lord, as a small boy, thought, "Who will cuddle and hold me?" When Krishna thought in this way, Yasoda was overcome by the very form of affection for her son. The word mayim in this phrase means affection itself, namely prema in the form of parental affection, vatsalya bhava. The word mayam here indicates bewilderment. In other words, Yasoda became blinded by prema. Text 44. Immediately forgetting Yogamaya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yasoda took her son on her lap as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mother Yasoda regarded the vision of the universal form within Krishna's mouth as an arrangement of Yogamaya, like a dream. As one forgets everything after a dream, Mother Yasoda immediately forgot the entire incident. As her natural feelings of affection increased, she decided to herself, "Now let this incident be forgotten. I do not mind. Here is my son. Let me kiss him." Viswanatha Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary. Just as one quickly forgets a dream through the influence of Maya, Yasoda forgot completely about the universal form. In the presence of Aishvarya Gyan, knowledge of the Lord's opulence and majesty, intimacy and affection is restricted. Now being unrestricted, Yasoda's affection increased even more. Sukadev describes Yasoda as Pavridya Sneha Kalila Hridaya, one whose heart was completely covered with increased affection. Text 45. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied through the three Vedas, the Upanishads, the literature of Sankhya Yoga and other Vaishnava literature. Yet, Mother Yasoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 15:15, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the purpose of studying the Vedas is to understand Him. Vedascha sarvar aham eva vedya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatan Goswami that there are three purposes in the Vedas. One is to understand our relationship with Krishna, sambandha. Another is to act according to that relationship, abhideha. And the third is to reach the ultimate goal, prayojana. The word prayojana means necessities, and the ultimate necessity is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema bhumartho mahan. The greatest necessity for the human being is the achievement of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here we see that Mother Yasoda is on the highest stage of that necessity, for she is completely absorbed in love for Krishna. In the beginning, the Vedic purpose is pursued in three ways, trayi, by karma kanda, gyan kanda, and upasana kanda. When one reaches the complete perfect stage of upasana kanda, one comes to worship Narayan, or Lord Vishnu. When Parvati asked Lord Mahadev, Lord Shiva, what is the best method of upasana, or worship? Lord Shiva answered, Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param. Vishnu upasana, or Vishnu aradhana, worship of Lord Vishnu, is the highest stage of perfection, as realized by Devaki. But here, Mother Yasoda performs no upasana, for she has developed transcendental, ecstatic love for Krishna. Therefore, her position is better than that of Devaki. In order to show this, Srila Vyasadeva enunciates in this verse, Traya chopani sadapi, etc. When a human being enters into the study of the Vedas to obtain vidya, knowledge, he begins to take part in human civilization. Then he advances further to the study of the Upanishads and gain Brahma Gyan, impersonal realization of the Absolute Truth. Then he advances still further to Sankhya Yoga in order to understand the Supreme Controller, who is indicated in Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shasvatam. When one understands that Purusha, the Supreme Controller, to be Paramatma, one is engaged in the method of yoga, Dhyana Vivastita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogina. But Mother Yasoda has surpassed all these stages. She has come to the platform of loving Krishna as her beloved child, and therefore she is accepted to be on the highest stage of spiritual realization. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti sabjate. But she is in such an ecstasy that she does not care to understand what is Brahman what is Paramatma, or what is Bhagavan. Bhagavan has personally descended to become her beloved child. Therefore, there is no comparison to Mother Yasoda's good fortune, as declared by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadu vargena yat kalpita. The absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, may be realized in different stages. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:11, yayatha mam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajam yaham mama vartmano vartante manusyaparta sarvasya. As men surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. One may be a karmi, a jnani, a yogi, and then a bhakta or a prema bhakta. But the ultimate stage of realization is prema bhakti, as actually demonstrated by Mother Yasoda. Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. In this verse, Vyasadeva shows how Yasoda's maternal love was superior to that of Devaki. Yasoda's love remained unrestricted in spite of seeing Krishna's powers and hearing about the Lord's powers from scriptures, such as the three Vedas, which glorify Krishna as the Yajna Purusha. Without regard for time or place, Mother Yasoda considered the all-powerful Lord, who is glorified directly and indirectly in the scriptures, as an ordinary child. Yasoda thought, by the mercy of our powerful family deity, Lord Narayan, who has been satisfied with the austerities and worship executed by Nanda and me, and who has been satisfied with the many austerities of Parjanya, I have been given this son, who the Karmis glorify as the absolute truth propounded in the scriptures. People accept this because of Gargamuni's statement that Krishna is equal in quality to Narayan, and because of the stories of Krishna's killing gigantic demons like Putana and others. Therefore, everyone believes my son is Narayan, but actually, he is just my child. If he does not see me for a moment, he becomes very disturbed. I also become disturbed when separated for a moment from him. Our experience is our proof. In this way, Mother Yasoda thought about Krishna. As fruitive workers think of the Lord as Yajna Purusha, according to the Vedas, similarly, Yasoda thought of the Lord as her son due to her Vatsalya Prema. Just as Krishna gives the results to Karmis who worship him, he reciprocated with Yasoda's maternal affection. But Krishna could not respond fully to the amount of affection offered by Yasoda. Remaining a debtor, Krishna was content to be dependent on Yasoda's mercy and control and cry for her milk. This will become clear in later chapters. One should take this verse as a Paribhasya Sutra of Krishna Lila. As a lamp sits in one place in a dark room and lights up the whole room, so that statement in the scriptures which can reveal the meaning of all scriptures or regulate the meaning of the scriptures is called a Paribhasa Sutra. This verse stands as a regulator for all the pastimes related to Aishvarya, displays of power and opulence, shown during Krishna's Kumara and Kaishura, his childhood and youthful ages, in Mathura, Kurukshetra, and elsewhere.